You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this wonderful podcast. And joining me for our last week of one show, the man who now only has like two titles on his resume, Tony East. Tony. So the Pacers didn't have a ton of news this week. Golf outing was mainly the most Pacer-related thing. On this show, we're going to do three quick segments on we're going to do the under 25 list by the Step Back, some Zabruder film on Oladipo, who is training, I think, down in Miami still, and then we're going to end it with a T.J. Warren season preview to kind of continue that series. But, like I mentioned to start, the Pacers had a golf outing, and I don't know, anything relevant from it that you thought?
Well, first of all, Adam, I'd like to say that Pacers basketball starts next Friday, which is just ridiculous.
Well, the basketball doesn't start for like another 2 weeks. The training camp starts next Friday.
No, the Pacers play in 12 days, man.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you're thinking you're doing the following Friday? I'm thinking this week's Friday, not the guy. Got
you. Yes.
Not in five days. Next Friday, but mean 2 weeks from now Friday.
No, in 5 days there is media day though, and I will be there, so I will share any fun stuff I can find there.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to go to three times a week for the first 2 weeks of October and then do five.
Yeah, starting next week, we're at 3 days a week. So this is our last week where you guys get to hear us once. But thankfully, the golf outing happened and the Step Back helped us tide over some stuff to talk about.
So, again, was there anything interesting in the golf outing?
Well, actually newsworthy, besides just like players hyping up other players, there was the Vic stuff, which I think we should talk about. So McMillan was speaking. He was on Dockett's show, and he was speaking. I don't remember which one this was from, but they asked him about Oladipo, and his quote was, "He's doing great. He's not playing live, but he's moving, and he's in a good position mentally. I like what I see with him." So that's good, of course, and we can see that from videos. And, of course, our second – I don't know what segment order we're doing today, but one of them we will talk about Vic's most recent video because he has contact stuff going on, which is cool. But then the big one here is he said, "I just know that on the 23rd of October – he probably won't be there," which I know he's not going to play that day. I mean, we've seen those timelines from everybody, but do you think that means he won't be like in Detroit at all?
I mean, I'm assuming he won't travel till he's ready to play.
That's so interesting. That's what I'm thinking that means too, but I figured he'd like sit on the bench and be at games, but I mean, I guess
not if he's living there. Was he on the bench last year at all? I guess he was at home.
He was not. Well, that made sense, right? He couldn't fly. The rule was he couldn't fly.
Yeah, but even if you're rehabbing, don't want him to fly yet. Maybe you fly like to the – maybe just get him kind of into the flow of the team.
But maybe he'll be at home games and not road games. I'm not actually sure.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, Detroit's close enough where maybe he would go to it. That's the only thing. But, like, right. Don't they have an early West Coast run somewhere in there? In like
it's not long. None of their road trips are long. But I think
no, but so. It's like – I doubt he'll make that kind of trip. He's not ready to play.
Right.
That's all
right. But yeah, I mean, that's interesting to me that he won't even be. That's the only news. I mean, we knew he wouldn't be there at the start of the year. But, I mean, and you know, of course, everything we see is him doing great. So I'm glad to hear McMillan say that.
To me, has this not been the weirdest kind of injury? Like, there's been absolutely no timeline set for it at all, ever. Have you noticed that?
I mean, we've heard December or January. But, yeah, everyone just kind of says, like, you know, timeline. But that's
wasn't that just an offhand comment Adrian Wojnarowski made on like some draft?
Well, no, Pritchard said it on Dockett. So
did he? Okay,
listen, I don't. Their update of no timeline like at the golf outing in last week, like that. Why put a timeline on it? Like, what's the point? You're just setting an expectation when you don't even know.
No, but isn't that the concerning part then? If they don't know,
that's true. Yes, I can hear that.
I get last January. Okay, he had surgery. It's a unique injury. But wouldn't you know by around June, July, which maybe is why they put why we got the report of December, January. Like, wouldn't you know it's a six? You could give a 4 to 6 month range. At this point, you give a 8 to 16 week range to kind of buy you in. But I mean, I don't know. It's concerning to me there has not been a timeline set, and they're starting to get to a position where like you'd want to at least have some kind of idea. Okay, we think we're shooting for early December or something like that kind of thing.
I would like to hear something like that. But I don't know. Like before the season, I don't see the point of giving a timeline publicly, but I understand that that is concerning as well. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I will give you the validation that that is a potentially good theory.
Okay. I appreciate that. Other things we go off adding real fast before we do the top 25 under 25. you saw Brogdon and kind of becoming sort of, I guess, probably put the kind of number two on this team, sort of feeling, you know, I feel like the Pacers, so they lost so many of their, I mean, besides Turner, they lost basically their two, their second, third, fourth best or fifth best or sixth best, whatever you put Collison in that ring up, you know what I mean? But it feels like Brogdon sort of filling that role now as sort of the kind of, you want to call it the non-Vic leader, maybe even the leader of the team, sort of, I guess.
Yeah, both on and off the floor, too.
Yeah.
He always speaks, like, so well. It's so impressive.
This is the role Thad had. Thad and I.
Yes.
Collison had it a little bit, too, last year, too.
Yeah, Collison spoke after every game. He was the best for that.
Yeah.
McConnell was talking about the scrimmages, he said, about Brogdon. He said, he's really good, physical freak, great teammate, all the things you want from one of your star players. That seems like a stretch, but I love the confidence. He's going to be really good for us. So the problem with these is, like, of course, they're going to say nice things about their teammates in these scrimmages and not say bad.
Of course, of course.
So, like, big grain of salt. But the guys they single out, I think, are interesting. And McConnell chose Brogdon, which is good. And earlier in the summer at Summer League, I was doing research for articles, and Brogdon even said the guy he's looking forward to playing against on the Pacers the most is McConnell because he, like, tries hard and they'll make him better. So that's kind of funny to me.
So we are doing a Brogdon preview next week, so I'm not going to – shouldn't say too much. But I think there's a chance that they see him as a star because he's sort of not been held down in Milwaukee but has been underutilized in terms of just – like, he's a low usage rate. He's below 20 basically for all 3 years in Milwaukee. So.
Yep. Yeah, when I wrote about him, that's what I was interesting to me is, like, his with his usage rate being so low, of course he's good at these things and he fits really well with Vic because of them, but, like, what is his expanded role going to mean? Can he be a point guard with a higher usage that still doesn't turn over the ball very much and hit shots at this level? Because if he does, like you're saying, he could actually be a star.
Well, right. If you look at it, if he had come out of college as a freshman, you would have thought that kind of year heading to his fourth year, that's the year where the guy goes.
Right.
He leaps his third year and then he becomes the super, like the established star's fourth year. Now he's older than that, obviously, because he came out, I think, after 4 years of college at Virginia, but that's kind of, he fits that in terms of years timelines, kind of the way Bojan kind of leaped that fourth and fifth year.
Yeah, and this is obviously not the right way to think about it, right? But, like, Oladipo's big jump was his fifth year. Like, Brogdon's entering his fifth year. Brogdon's entering the same years of service season as Turner is this season. Like, they just are different ages, so it seems very different.
Yes, and that's a good segue. Speaking of ages, so Brogdon is 26, so he is not in the under 25 or 25. But something that kind of is cool for the Pacers, I guess, in the Step Back's top 25 under 25.
Cool project, by the way. They do it every summer, and it is very well done.
The Pacers were the only – were tied with two other teams. Sorry, tied with the Heat. And I'm looking at the Heat, the Suns, and there was one other team, the Hawks, who had two players in the top 25 under 25.
Hey.
Now, what's interesting is I don't see any of this year's draft picks on it.
I don't know.
No, if they I do. Included. I see
Zion's here. Zion's
but I don't
here. Yeah, well, they have a list of their snubs, and John Morant is on that list.
Okay. That's what I'm missing. So only Zion from this year's draft. So yes. Memphis could have two, obviously. Who's the number three again this year? I'm blinking now.
Number who? Number three pick was RJ Barrett.
Right. So the Knicks could have two. They've got one on this list, Mitchell Robinson. But still, it's a good kind of sign for the Pacers.
They do a good job with these. Like, they write a long article about why they have everybody where they have them, which is really interesting. They've done it for 3 years. They list old lists to, like, show why they look dumb and stuff. It's a really good project. Step Back does a good job. Anywho, the two Pacers, Sabonis comes in at number 22, right between Bam Adebayo and Aaron Gordon. Adam, is there anyone ahead of Sabonis that you'd say, what? Why is that guy ahead of Sabonis?
Mitchell Robinson, in my opinion.
Robinson. Now, let's talk about it. Because I love Mitchell Robinson, but you know, I would not put him above Sabonis right now.
That's projecting a lot of his future, what he could be versus what he actually was, right?
He was pretty good. I don't want to sell him short. He might have been the Knicks' best player last year.
Yeah, that's not saying much, Tony. You would have been the Knicks' third best player.
Yeah. Touche. But I don't want to put him ahead of Sabonis already.
Yeah, I mean, he put up 7 points a game last year, and he shot well. He shot 69.
Great. His value is all defense. He's such a good defender.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is going to be, I think, a good NBA player, but he took 4 shots per game last year. I don't know. I mean, right. Sabonis is proven he could be, 15 points or what, he put up 12 or 13 last year?
Yep.
And 7 rebounds a game. I mean, that's a guy that, like, is borderline starter or is going to start for an NBA team next year.
He is going. Yeah, he is. Yeah, I didn't think there was anyone else that I thought was, like, so egregious that he was behind. Personally,
no, I mean, you could make a case Aaron Gordon kind of peaked, but I think Aaron Gordon is a better player right now.
I agree.
It's like if you want to like
and Aaron Gordon is the same age. He came in like super young.
Yeah, he came in. So, that's right. Sabonis went 2 years of college at Gonzaga. I mean, the other.
I like that spot for him. I mean, and I think he has a lot of room to go up just because he spent a whole year being wasted as a stretch four. But
yeah.
I think given the information we have, I think that's a fine spot for him.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody. I mean, I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think John Collins is good. Brown, Jalen Brown, obviously. I think Jalen Brown and Sabonis are about equal value in the league. I would say Brown's probably a little better because he plays a position that's more valuable.
Yep, you were stealing my words.
Russell obviously was really good last year. Markkanen is when he's healthy. We'll see what happens. But he was obviously, I think.
I think when you jump ahead of Markkanen here on the list, so you, obviously the listener can't see this, but ahead of Markkanen on the list, you get to like legit impact good players.
Well. The question is, you got Trae Young and Jaren Jackson on this list.
Trae Young was a legit impact good player after the All-Star break.
I guess what I'm – I mean, once I would feel like you would want to put Jamal Murray higher than Young and Jackson. I feel like Jamal
Triple
Murray
– J is awesome, but he wasn't healthy, so I think they put him a little too high. But, yeah, I think Murray should go ahead of those two guys.
I mean, I think if you put Murray – Murray's 14 at 12, and you went 12 to 1, all those guys are players that are – I mean, we call borderline All-Star. I mean, that's fair.
Yes.
I mean, anything, anybody
– borderline to actual – in the case of the top five or so, like actual – top six or so, like actual.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, Russell was an All-Star last year, but I don't know where you put him in the West with guards. He's probably not an All-Star this year.
Right. Simmons was an All-Star last year.
Yeah, I mean, Simmons, Jokic, Towns, Doncic. I was an All-Star, but should have probably will be. Mitchell.
Group.
Was Mitchell an All-Star last year? I don't remember. I mean,
he was not.
It's hard in the West as a guard.
It is, and, you know, I think some of it with him is, like, he didn't – he was still good, but he didn't improve. So it's hard for people to be like, well, this is clearly an All-Star.
Yeah.
Even though he's close.
Yeah, it's just hard. I mean, what? The four best guards are in the West anyways.
Yeah.
Harden, Westbrook, Curry, and Lillard. I mean, that's
– So we've been jumping the gun here. At 10 is Turner.
Yes.
And he is between De'Aaron Fox and Kristaps Porzingis at 9 and 11 respectively. So, again, like Sabonis, I find it hard to pick a guy ahead of him that I'm like, he is clearly better than. So I think they did a pretty good job with both guys.
It depends how valuable you find Devin Booker, I guess.
I think Booker's awesome. I think the Suns just suck. Personally.
I mean, I agree. But I guess shouldn't a good player –
I'm excited to see Devin Booker with a point guard that is actually like a useful player and isn't a guy I've never heard of before.
I mean, I personally think Booker, yes, is a better player than Turner and will be a better player when he's in the right situation. But I guess his team has won like a combined, 80 games in the last 4 years he's been there?
Yeah, they started a guy I've never heard of at point guard last year.
No, I know. I just you know, Turner, at least defensively, has probably the – besides Simmons on this list and Towns, maybe. Not Towns. Simmons. And – who am I looking at this list? Who I thought – Tatum, I guess, has – well, probably – it's probably Turner and – it's probably
Turner, Simmons are the best two defenders on the list.
Yeah, it's probably the best defenders on the list.
Turner, Simmons are the best two. Yeah, so I think this is not Pacers related, but with the Suns – like, the Kings last year finally got good because, like, they had a crappy point guard for forever. And then De'Aaron Fox became good, and lo and behold, they're good. When the Suns go from Isaiah Kanan 2 years ago and Shaq Harrison, and then last year it was like De'Anthony Melton and dudes I've never heard of to rookie Ricky Rubio, who we dumped on all summer, but he's way better than those guys. I think they won't be good, but I think they won't be absolutely horrible anymore.
De'Aaron Fox might be like an all-star, borderline all-star next year.
Yeah, I love De'Aaron Fox. But yeah, Turner right ahead of Porzingis, Jamal Murray, like the guys we just talked about. I think that's a good spot for him. You know, clearly, I think he's more established than those guys. This year's going to be interesting for him. I think this is his last eligible year, but top 10 player under 25. There we go. Love it.
Could you imagine, though, if the Suns had taken De'Aaron Fox instead of Josh Jackson?
Oh, they'd be awesome.
I mean, talk about needing a point guard and all. I mean, that would have solidified
that. A lot of stupid stuff.
I mean,
between Bender, Chris, and Josh Jackson.
Well, and I mean, I would say DeAndre Ayton. I mean, not Jordan. DeAndre Ayton.
Ayton's on this list at 25. I like Ayton. Ayton's good.
Yeah, but Doncic comes in like 4 on this list.
Oh, yeah. Doncic is much better.
Or 3. I'm sorry. Doncic
yes.
comes in 3.
On yes. This sorry. As opposed to who they could have picked. Yes. Ayton is.
It's all about opportunity cost.
Not necessarily. Opportunity. Yeah.
I mean, he's a good player. I mean, we'll see if he's going to be anything special.
That's interesting. I never thought of that perspective that you had, but like, yeah, the Pacers are one of what, 3 teams that have 2 guys on here? Mavs.
So I did the Celtics, Mavs. Hawks and Heat have
Suns. There's a lot. There's a couple
Suns. But they're the only
team. The Pacers are the best team that has two guys on.
Except for the Celtics, but they don't count because they had all the Kings picks. So right. The Kings are really not the Kings, but all the Nets picks. And the Nets were just bad. That's why they.
That's true.
No, but they're the best. They're the best team who had the probably the or have you added up to like the hot the picks? So like Turner went 11, and what Sabonis went 10, right?
I never remember. I always think it's 9 or 11, but I think it's the same pick.
Okay, well, combine I bet they have the highest like number total of where they were picked for any duo on this list.
Ooh, no, because Jokic was a second rounder, so Jokic Murray wins.
No, but duo, oh, yeah, Murray. Damn it. Yeah, you're right. Damn it.
The Nuggets win that one.
Yeah. So there are a lot of teams. It's weird how a lot of these teams have like the same six and now clustered the two like two players basically.
Yeah.
Like the Nets.
Well, Pacers are one of the better teams on the list.
Yeah. The Nets are a team that doesn't have a player like this. The Cavs.
Will Holiday be on this next year? Will he be too old, actually?
No. He's only 23, right?
I don't remember.
I believe he turned.
No, 23. He's not even 23 yet. I'm stupid. So
he turns 23 next week.
Birthday's in, 1 week. Okay, so maybe. Will Aaron Holiday be on here next year?
Maybe.
Turns like the snubs list. Like Kevin Huerter is on the snubs list. He's the last guy on it. Can he get to where Kevin Huerter was last year?
Maybe. That I can see that. I mean, there'll be some guys off this list, right? I mean, I'm assuming. Mitchell, I think, is close to 25.
Guys will get older. Like, Zach LaVine's on the snubs list. He'll be off. He'll be
too. Why is he on the top 25? Isn't Mitchell, like, 24?
Who?
Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah.
So he'll be off it next year, won't he?
Yes. There are a few guys like that.
Or maybe Mitchell's 23. I'm sorry. So maybe he'll still be on this list.
Some guys will be gone.
Yes, somebody will be. I mean, some of those are not there next year.
Yes.
I guess, can I get any other Pacers?
Sabonis was not on it last year, and Turner was 13. So they both moved up.
So where do you think Turner gets any higher than this? I think Sabonis has room to grow on this list. But
they both could get a little higher.
So who's the best player in college next year? Because that's probably on this list, right? He'll probably be in the top 10.
Cole Anthony, I think.
Okay, so whoever that is will be in the top 10. Assuming a couple guys.
Turner was 7 2 years ago. Wow.
So he has fallen, actually. I mean, that's.
That's crazy.
That's coming right off.
Behind like, Embiid, ahead of Bradley Beal. Swing and a miss. That's crazy. This is wild to look at.
My guess is there'll be two or three guys from last draft class that kind of pop on the list that weren't on this time, obviously, just because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Moran or RJ Barrett easily could hop up here, man. How they play. I don't know. I think Turner's probably peaked. He's probably going to – he might sell in.
I don't think he's peaked.
On this list,
I don't know how much better he can get, but I don't think he's peaked.
I think he's peaked on this list. Let's put it that way.
Yes, I can live with that.
That's what I mean. And then Sabonis has room to grow. I think, Sabonis could be closer to Turner. They could both be at 14 and 15 next year.
Yes. Well, I thought they were going to be closer ranked by people going into this year, but –
I think it's hard because really Turner had the better year last year. I mean, Turner just was
– He did.
A defensive force. And Sabonis, you just –
And they both just got destroyed in the playoffs. So
and Sabonis
hard
was
– Hard to separate them because of
he
that.
He had a run that towards the end that was not great for Sabonis. He had a great start, but then he kind of tailed off.
Yeah, and Turner had that sensational December through like the All-Star break. So
and his defense was consistent all year versus Sabonis was up and down a little bit. But
yep.
No, it's a good list. This is actually a pretty good shout out to the
staff. I agree. They always do a good job, but they, again, did a good job.
All right, so let's take a quick break. And on the other
side,
we're
going to do Warren first or Zapruder film first?
We're going to do Warren next, and then we'll end with our old Depot Zapruder film because that's the most exciting segment we have.
The diehards will get the Zapruder.
Welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. All right, so continuing our player preview, we have already done Aaron Holiday and Goga. You can check those out on our last two podcasts. I believe they're both the second segment of each show. Listen to those whole shows anyways if you haven't listened to me. They're great shows, so don't you go something. If you already heard them, great. We can this is the third one we're doing. We are doing Brogdon next week. So we tried to do most of the new guys together. We're trying to do that. That's me and Tony's kind of goal. But I think Lamb is gonna be just Tony. That is gonna be the one and after we do Brogdon next weekend, and then it's gonna go from there to Leaf, Justin Holiday, Sabonis, McDermott, Oladipo, McConnell, Turner, Sumner, and Owsley before the season starts. Obviously, we'll keep repeating that, so you don't have to know that by heart. But right now, it's Warren, and next week it's Brogdon, just so you guys know. All right. So, TJ Warren became a Pacer this offseason after they traded basically nothing to get him, right? They acquired a second
round. They acquired three second rounders.
Well, one turned into three for some cash.
Right. It's just crazy, man.
They basically said we'll pay you $10 million so that they could have the cap space to go get Ricky Rubio, who Pacers wanted, who then decided, okay, we don't have that money, so we're going to go turn around and trade a first-round pick and a second-rounder at the time. Both a first, second-rounder, right?
Yes, first and second, correct.
To get Brogdon. That was the loop.
So the place we usually start is last season, and I think we can with Warren because last year was his kind of takeoff year. He was just better in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, he's had two good years now. I mean, he's been a
– Right, he's had two straight years of 18-plus points per game. But I think last year the differentiation is he played more of a perimeter role than a, you know, get to the basket or get to his spots role, which I think is interesting. But when I watched him, that's what – was in the like the big takeaway for me is that he actually is more of like I'd always heard of him as like Nate Duncan originally was the guy who called him a professional scorer. So I was just like was like, yeah, this guy like takes it to the basket more and like loves his mid range. But like he was legit a perimeter dude last year who like found spot up attempts and stuff. It was interesting.
Yeah, I think not
often, but more so than I expected. How about
that? Well, the interesting stat from last season was he averaged about a point and a half less, but took almost two shots less per game, which meant he became a much more efficient player last year. He basically shot 49, 43, 81. That's pretty good. That's like as close
pretty
as
good.
That's basically 50, 40, 80, which is pretty good for a, you know, only the best of the best are 50, 40, 90.
Yeah, again, I know this sounds like I'm pulling crap out of my butt, but like I had a dude with 1,000 minutes last year. He had the eighth best 3-point percentage in the league. Like, yeah. Obviously, I don't expect that to maintain, but that is a very good number. Yeah. And it's a shockingly high jump.
Yeah, and in a volume, too. He took nearly tripled his amount of threes per game and shot 20% better or 21% better.
So he told – for the Arizona Republic wrote a story about it where he apparently changed his form. Warren told them he was kicking his feet out, and he worked on going straight up and down. And it apparently was, like, the biggest answer ever for him.
I mean, whatever he did, whatever he worked on,
keep doing that.
Yeah, just keep doing that, and then, yeah, just keep refining that part of his game. I think for me, the most interesting part of his stat line is that shots per game, because I don't think he's going to get to that volume with the Pacers.
You don't? So
So if you pull up the Pacers past two seasons, which are sort of can be kind of go both ways. So I had it up for a second. Per game. The second, so assuming Vic is the number one shots per game guy, assuming he plays 45 games, so I should play 36. Even with that, the number two shots per game guy was at 13. Year before it was 10.
Dias. Maybe not 14. I agree with that, I guess.
I mean, it's just going to be hard for him to get to 14 shots per game in an offense, assuming Oladipo plays 45 games, let's say.
Yeah, so he played 32 minutes, so I was thinking that like his rate per minute shots would be closer to Bojan's than it was, but it's not.
So
Bojan's at about 14 and he's at about 16. So he will shoot a little bit less. Yes, that is.
So here, but you slot his numbers into Bojan's shots and minutes, which is about similar. Bojan played about 31.8. Warren played what? 31.6. So yep. I mean, very similar into 30 shots. I think you get a pretty close to, you probably get like 16 per game. He shot a bunch of a little better from two, like at 49.7 versus Warren's at 48.6, but three-point percentage is a little better and free throws a little better. So you probably still get, with those 13 shots, close to his you probably get like 16,
right.
16 and a half, 17 per game. So if he could do that in that role.
So close. Like Bojan finished the possession for the Pacers 22.4% of the time. For Warren and the Suns, it was 22.7. Like, it's just how much – like, he just turned it over less, basically. It's just – it's like they're very minor different usage guys. So I would expect him to shoot about as much as Bojan did last year. So 13 seems like the number.
And if he's that guy putting up 17 a game, that's like – and you have
– huge win.
Yeah, I mean – and then
to replace Bojan with a slightly worse defending Bojan, that is the same price, I think, is a win given the circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Pacers, what you're looking at trying to like – if you have the same shots, the same next year, basically you're looking at trying to get a more efficient guy at the Thaddeus Young spot with Sabonis or with Brogdon and the Evans spot, right? Both those guys were okay shooters, but not great. I mean, that's basically what you're – if you're trying to have the same success as last year, you got to replicate the same amount of points per game, and you could do that with Oladipo at the one, Warren at the two in that point, and then you're hopefully filling in a little bit improvement in those 3, 4, 5 shots per game spot.
So when Warren is better than Bojan, like Bojan last year, we both saw it, like Everybody saw it. He could finally dribble, right, and get to the rim and put in his layup. So Warren's had that for a while. And what makes him good at it is, unlike Bojan, where a lot, like, he didn't pull up in the mid-range as much, Warren's really good at pulling up in the mid-range and getting to some spots, like if the defense sags off of him. And I think the Pacers will invite him to shoot those. Not a lot. You know, I don't, like, they're not going to, like, be like, yeah, dude, go pull up on some mid-rangers. But, you know, if you need that shot, you have a guy who can hit it. And Bojan was worse at him last year. Remember the buzzer beater against the Kings always sticks in your head. But, you know, I just don't remember him being that guy as much as I think Warren is when I watched him play.
Yeah, and remember that if you add Lamb and Warren, you get about what Bojan makes. That's also why it's valuable.
Yeah.
That's why that's why you get the same value for $8 million less per year, something like that.
Yes. Yes. So can I do a concerning thing from Warren?
Yes.
Especially compared to Bojan, is Bojan was not a good passer, but Warren is worse, like substantially worse.
Well, the question is Warren's refused to pass.
Yeah, 1.5 career high in his assists per game is concerning. He's kind of tunnel vision-y, which is not good. So can I have a wild stat for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
5 years in the NBA, TJ Warren, right? Uh-huh. 293 assists. Corey Joseph, last season, 321 assists. So just picture Corey Joseph last year. You'd never be like, oh, he was an awesome creator. He had more assists last year than Warren has in his entire career. So – he's not a good setup man for other guys, which is I mean, Bojan wasn't either, understood, and I'm not predicting a big system change for the Pacers this year, but Bojan was a better passer than Warren is.
Can I do another concerning?
Yes, you can.
Bojan was clearly a stretch the floor type of player where you could put him in a spot and he could just shoot it if you needed him to, and he drew a defender on. I don't know if Warren's that. I mean, he could be, right? He shot 40% from three, so he could be. But it felt like with the Suns, he was more a guy who was more dominant, more effective with the ball, and they were just kind of putting him in the corner and telling him to spot and shoot.
I'll be interested to see how opposing defenses buy Warren's three-point shooting or not, you know?
I mean, I think it's kind of the same way they did with Thad last year, right? They didn't buy it the first 2 months. Thad shot pretty well. Then they started buying it, and Thad didn't shoot well, so they stopped buying it. It usually takes about, 10, 15 games, and teams start to adjust to certain players. It happened with Turner all the too, right? So Turner was so bad the first month that teams kind of left him alone, and then he started making some shots, and they kind of readjusted and started to guard him a little more. And so, I mean, so I think the start of the year, the teams will respect it. If he sucks for the first month, then they won't respect it. And then
big start, big first 10 games for Warren from deep coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll start the year as this guy. They'll be telling this guy shot 43%. You better have your hand on him at all times. Like, do not let him slip by you and everything like that. We'll see if that works. He's going to be the focal point of the defense probably to start the year, I would say.
Yes, I
think so too. Which I don't – he's never really had. I'm assuming he's played with Booker a lot. So
can I tell you why?
What?
This is my favorite Warren stat. 69.8% in his career from 0 to 3 feet. That's higher than Sabonis or Turner, both of them, from that distance. He is amazing at the rim when he gets there.
What's his shot percentage? Like, how many shots per game does he take from there,
I guess? How many shots per game?
Or, like –
30% of his shots last year for his career, 33, so about a third of them.
Okay. That's what I have that set up now in my mind, so I don't know why I asked
you for it. He is an awesome – and last year was his worst year. He was above 70% before last year. He is awesome at the rim.
Yeah, I mean, he takes 70% of his shots from two.
So I know that he won't pass, but, like, with the right screen, and both Turner and Sabonis are good screeners, like, if he can get ahead of steam going to the basket, he could be awesome.
Well, and the hope is too they can clear out enough. I do wonder though if they work on his passing, they get him into that what's the Draymond, you know, that Draymond play where, like, he gets within 5 feet and lobs it up to somebody. Like,
yeah.
They have the possibility of Sabonis there or Turner. I don't know. We just need to see if they can bring kind of a new wrinkle to him. I mean, I feel like he's definitely going to be coachable, or at least his game's going to change because he's just with a much better coaching staff and a team who cares about winning more than the Suns did. Where the Suns kind of just let him do whatever he wants, so. That could either go really well or really bad. But if he kind of plays to it and kind of play, you know, plays into McMillan's system and enjoys that, they might be able to find new wrinkles with him. Because he really is probably one of the more dynamic offensive players they have on the roster. He might even be he's probably number two behind Oladipo, really.
Yep.
Because he can just do a lot of different things versus, and it's different than any other Pacers player they've had last year because they really didn't have anybody who was that dynamic. I mean, you could say Bojan was, but Bojan was kind of.
Tyreek was supposed to be.
Yeah, but Bojan was one of three moves, right? It was like kind of that, what do we call it, step back three, sort of, I don't know how to clear that space kind of three, or the putting his right shoulder down, driving in and banking it off the glass kind of player. I mean, he just didn't have a lot of different moves versus, I mean, like Warren is just so much more dynamic.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. We'll just do this really quickly. His defense is a horrible, 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 horrible thing, and he has a lot of long way to go there. And yes. That was that. That was easy.
Hopefully he will learn from.
He is like the worst case of ball watch itis that I've ever seen. So hopefully he can fix that.
Yeah, but he has the measurements to be a good defense player. It's an Al Sutter.
He's okay on the ball. Like, he has some highlights and some bad plays. I included clips of both in my article about him.
No, but he has like the prototype German. He's tall, long arms, has the ability to cut off passing lanes. I mean, he could be a good defender, I think.
He's bad.
No, I mean, like, he has like the, if you were just to say I want a specific player body type to be a defender, he would fit that mold, I guess.
Sure. I'd like him to be a little bulkier, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, Kevin Durant's pretty skinny. He's a pretty good defender too.
Yes, he is.
TJ
Warren has 7 foot plus wingspan. We'd be talking about this a little differently.
Yeah, I guess. What is his wingspan? It's probably.
I don't know the answer to that. That is a good question.
Okay, it's not that relevant, to be honest. Right. I mean, he is 6'8", so he definitely doesn't have a tiny wingspan, I'm sure.
So I think I'm gonna say a take. His wingspan is 6'9". I think he might be the most volatile. That might be the wrong word. Player going into the year, as in his ceiling is super high. And his floor of impact is kind of low. And it'll be interesting to see where he lands in between. I think the most likely outcome is he's just like a useful offensive player, a little bit worse than Bojan, but I think he has the chance to be better. So we'll see.
Well, that's why they got him for free, because not a lot of teams wanted him, and there were concerns that he would be too. People weren't sure.
Pacers needed wings like crazy. So.
No, and I mean, honestly, he's not that expensive, too. I mean,
no, not at all.
I mean, realistically, if he is kind of flames out, you just put Lamb in that spot and – you figure it out.
Yeah, that's true.
Bring Holiday. You send him all the way down to the list. You Justin Holiday up to the backup three. If somehow he really, really flames out. I don't think he's going to flame out. I think he'll, like you said, somewhere in the middle. But I think there is a chance. I mean, that with just better coaching, he's just a much better player. Because shocking, coaching helps players get better.
Yeah, unbelievable, right?
I can't believe it.
Is it Zapruder time?
Yeah, so let's take one more break, and then we're going to break down Oladipo. Where was he at? In Miami, right?
Miami.
Is Miami doing training? Welcome back into the Locked On Pacers podcast. All right, Tony, we didn't do this real quick. What do you think Warren's stats are going to be?
Oh, crap, we cheated.
Just give me his numbers. We'll pass and move on to our last segment.
15.5 points, 1.2 assists, and like 4 rebounds.
I think I would go with 16.4 points. 4 rebounds and same amount of assists. What do you say? One and a half, 1 point?
Yeah, low.
Yeah, maybe. And then 1 steal per game.
Yeah. So less scoring, but I think he shoots a little less, like you said. So.
Yeah, I think he shoots around 12 shots per game, to be honest.
Maybe a little. I was lower on you on scoring because I don't think his 3 percentage maintains, but we'll see. It'll be definitely better than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think he'll get some opportunities to have some nice 25-point games start the year that will kind of help keep his average up, I think.
That's true. Good point. Good point.
All right.
So Bryce Stanhope and Vic have been training together this summer. There's various videos over like the last 2 months, actually, on Bryce Stanhope's Instagram of Vic working out. So if you want to go check out those, his Instagram is Bryce Stanhope Training. And this is the most recent installment of the Oladipo training videos, which we loved as a Zapruder film because we're weirdos.
Yeah. So if you don't get the reference, look it up on Google. Are you ready, Tony? Do you have the video up so we can be timed?
I do. I accidentally just was trying to mute the video to start watching it and muted you.
Like, oh, nice. so you probably
mute my Twitter tab instead of muting Adam. So
you didn't hear my joke then. Damn, that's why you didn't laugh.
I did not hear your
joke. My joke was, if you don't get the reference, search it on Google. That's why I got the death. Whoops.
Yes, there we go. So let's just say first 2 seconds. Vic does that hardened move, the dribble, and then gather step, 2-step back 3 on a ladder. And every reply to the video is like, travel.
Well, that's fine. That's just haters being
haters. But I'm speaking on the joke. I think the big thing in this part is he's moving left to right, which we haven't seen almost any of.
Well, he puts all his weight on his right foot or right leg.
Yeah, the first step is all off his right foot.
And then he did it again to step back and shoot.
And who is this guy, Adam, if you look in the doorway in the back right, just standing there watching? Is that a cardboard cutout?
I don't know. That might.
They are frozen in space back there.
Well, the video is not the best quality, like the Zapruder film. So, I mean, I can't tell what it
That's
is.
That's the sniper in the grassy knoll back there, is that guy. Then it cuts to number 2, Some between the legs dribbles followed by another Harden move, which again was off his right foot. This actually might be the same shot, just cut from a different angle.
You forgot to mention that he did make the
he did basket. Make the three. Yes, he did.
I mean, they probably wouldn't put it up there if he didn't make the shot. He probably taken the shot 100. They probably have 100 records that he made maybe just one.
So from angle two, the people in the background are clearly real. They're moving.
Is this
the same one? How can we figure out if this is the
no? It isn't, because he doesn't go between his legs in the first.
Oh, one. You're right. You're right.
He dribbles just all in the right hand and then pulls.
You
back.
Are correct. Is his clothing different or is the lighting different? This is the important.
It's just different angle.
He's got a t-shirt on in number two and a tank top on in number one.
Okay.
So. It's also long workout
versus not the difference, and that's why it looks darker.
If the Pacers have sleeved jerseys this year, Vic will still be good to go.
Please. This is interesting because he's able to again. He kind of puts the pressure on the right leg. I mean, that's really
It's the same style of shot with different dribbles leading up to it.
Yeah,
we haven't seen that at all. You're right, because all we've seen is running. And then what was the thing we talked about with the side to side movement? Oh, is that the IU stuff when he was at?
Yeah,
IU. That's right. Yeah,
he looks fine on side to side movement.
That's what's crazy about all these like timelines is like he looks pretty good in these workout videos.
I mean, I feel like if you didn't tell him he was hurt, I wouldn't think he was hurt.
Number three here. This is the big one. Contact. This is the one I referenced earlier and when I tweeted about. Some guy, maybe it's Bryce Daniels, but I don't actually know what he looks like, which is lazy and embarrassing. Is there with one of those like pads they use for shooting drills for layups a lot, except he's just running out and beating Vic up with it before he shoots a three. Of course, he makes it again because we're watching a trainer video.
Again, he puts pressure on his right leg and pushes in with his right side and has no.
He does. That's turn. True. I think these are all right. I didn't actually notice that, but I think these are all right foot shots.
Yeah, he does it again another time.
Man, why did the camera guy not just move a little bit? This sun is the worst when the ball's in the air.
Well, the thing is, when you get people filming each other, you don't get the cinematography, right? Usually you just get people don't realize you want the light in your back, not in your
front. I know.
The first angle you got right. You got it right.
The first one was perfect. It was the best one.
They just don't, they're just amateurs. I mean, the guy probably filming is like one of his, another trainer or something like that. Or, someone else he's working out with that's not like thinking, oh yeah, I'm trying to like make the best film so that two guys on a podcast can break it down line by line.
But not think of the people, man. Think of the people. We could be having a bomb thing if this was better lighting here.
Side note, why have we not gotten any like Turner workout videos this summer that have kind of blown up?
We got the McHale thing.
Yeah, but remember last summer he had like all those yoga videos and he had that one where he's playing against all those guys who clearly like couldn't even.
Yeah, maybe because he's with Team USA.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That's my only guess, but.
No, that's like a very.
Really same with Sabonis, same thing.
Yeah, well, we didn't really get Sabonis videos last year. Turner, we had a ton last year. It was like.
He did have a lot last year. You set yourself up for expectations when you do that stuff, man.
Hey,
I like Dame's route. Like obviously with Vic, it's rehab, which is different. But like Dame is the only guy who says, no, it doesn't matter if people see me working out. I know I'm doing it.
Also, this Vic thing isn't like anything special. He's just shooting threes on step back.
Yeah, but it's contact. We haven't seen that.
No. I just mean like in terms of like some of the guys have the workouts that are like Turner's were like him going against guys who probably couldn't even play like high school basketball, shooting, pulling up and draining threes. That's like true. I mean, like, he's amazing. This is just old people just working out with like
A basketball trainer.
Yeah, he might not even know this was taken, to be honest.
Yeah, the fourth one, again, is the same move except pushing off the padding again. The slightly different camera angle than the shot before, so good work by this camera crew to get two of the same shot. This one was more of a swish, though, had the Harden move instead of a one-step back.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's good to see that he has the same touch, clearly.
I will dig up your old tweets making – not you personally. You, little listener, I will dig up your old tweets making fun of Harden for traveling if Vic pulls out this move this year, just so you know.
Well, doesn't every player like practice this move and then nobody actually does it? Like, didn't
Steph
do a bunch of videos where he was trying?
It's not a travel. It's really not a travel. Like even by the rules, they even made an addendum to the rules to show everybody what a gather step is because it's not a travel. But it looks like
there's that explainer video somewhere. I don't know who did it that like explains like how because the ball is moving and he's in one movement. It all is. I think they
explain Harden with Harden. It's like I think a lot of guys could do it in a game, but Harden hits it at like a league average rate. And no one else could. If they could do that, that'd be sick. Yeah. No one else can do that.
Well, Harden does a similar move when he pulls to the rim, right? Just some kind of.
Yeah, and Harden's new shots is 1 foot thing, which if he can do that, holy crap. It's sick. Have you seen it yet?
No. Is that the shot that he was imitating off? Was it? Who hit that shot in the WNBA? Kelsey Plum hit it? No.
Kelsey Plum. That was sick. Right. Yes, that was the shot. That is exactly what it looks like.
Right, where she was like hesitating all the way.
That was
to the
a buzzer
right.
beater, though. She didn't mean to. Like, that's not something she would just.
No. But that was the shot that I say Harden working on, right?
Yeah. That game was crazy. I wish more of our people watched that game.
Yeah, that was – I'd watch – honestly, just, I just saw that shot. But
Mystics Ace, this has been a wild series. Anyway.
I feel like the Fever were good. I'd probably watch the NBA playoffs, but the Fever stunk this year.
So we're going to do our football 5 minutes in a second. This is the hardest one to Zapruder because of bad film work, and it's the same thing four times. But the WNBA, what they do for the draft lotteries, it's based off your last two seasons record. So the Fever actually had, like, the second best odds, even though they were, like, the ninth team out of 13 or whatever, 14 this year, because they were terrible the year before, which I think is actually a really good idea for the lottery odds.
But they didn't get it, so it didn't matter.
They did not. They would have gotten Sabrina Ionescu, which would have been sick, but they won't. And they fired their coach. I wish we had more time to do Fever stuff in the summer. But, you want to do our football stuff?
So let's do – so anything else on Oladipo real quick? Anything?
No, I'm looking forward to when they actually release the timeline for him. Because remember – okay, I'm going to do an addendum on that because you said it earlier. Remember last year they gave no timeline on him before he came back, and then he came back earlier than we thought for that Bucks game?
Yeah, they randomly just showed up one day and he was starting.
Yeah, so I maybe we shouldn't be – concerned necessarily, but just like annoyed.
Yeah, I think annoyed is the right word. I don't think the Pacers are just, they're so secretive. They're just,
I know. Man, our content could be so much better about these damn secrets.
Well, speaking of teams that are bad at reporting injuries, all right.
Yeah, congratulations to your Colts, Adam.
Jacoby Brissett, best game of his career so far. He started
really?
Off. He started off the game with. I know. So if you guys don't know, we just started football 5 minutes, and Tony does not watch any of the Colts games because he is a Viking.
I watch the highlights of Vikings games on Twitter. That is
so. Like, even though the game happened like probably 2 hours ago, right now he knows nothing that happened on it. So I can just explain what happened to him. So Brissett started the game 16 of 16 for like 200 yards. He found three incomplete pass on some kind of third down play in the red zone, but it's fine, not a big deal. He was killing it the first half. Then the offense slowed down. The Atlanta kind of took control in terms of just ball control, but Brissett had a really nice drive to kind of, I would say, seal the game, and then they put him up by 10 points with about 5 minutes left, and then they had another nice game-winning drive to kind of just kill the clock.
There you go. But I did see that on their last drive, they did a good job killing the clock for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they're the
I saw that on Twitter, though, not like actually one.
I mean, they're the best offensive line of football. I mean, I think it's
that's good.
Pretty obvious. Quinn Nelson's maybe the best offensive line.
But Adam, wasn't it stupid of them to draft a lineman with the whatever pick?
Yeah, until you watch him pancaking dudes.
I have fun making fun of Colts fans. I think Colts fans say a lot of dumb things, and it's fun to make fun of them.
No, there was one thing.
Like when Chad Kelly got waived this week, I've never even heard of this guy, Adam. And all these people on Twitter are like, oh, these idiots. Oh, my gosh. Like, oh, he's going to get scooped up. And then they added him to the practice squad like the next day. I was like, what? Why no one picked him up? Like, I've never even heard of this guy.
There was somebody who had this take on Twitter about how Ballard was a bad GM because the picks he had gotten were gifted to him or whatever. Like, oh, Quinn Nelson was an obvious pick, but like, no, he wasn't. He had a trade out of the three pick that was for a quarterback when his quarterback was still hurt to then take and still bet on Nelson being there at six, got that, then took a second round pick and sent a linebacker who was an all pro last year. Like, yeah. Colts fans, I don't know. Some of the people on Twitter just like, they just want to hate. They just want to, I don't know how to put it.
It's wild. Now I know who Chad Kelly is. Kevin Bowen was kind enough to help me out because I was like, what is
he's the old Ole Miss quarterback. He got in trouble.
Well, I figured out that he's Jim Kelly, right? He's the nephew of like an actually famous.
Oh, is he? I didn't realize that. I just know he was the Ole Miss quarterback.
I didn't know that.
Bama. They beat Bama a few years ago and he was the quarterback.
Oh, that's cool. Anyway, yeah, good for the Colts, man. They're 2-1 with kicking. They'd be 3-0. That's cool.
So this is the best they've had since 2013. So that every year they start like 1-3 or 0-2 or something like that. So this is a good start. But like I said, Brissett had – so he was 28 of 37 for 310 yards and I think 2 TDs at the end of the night. He is – he's showing that maybe Andrew Luck with a system quarterback, not necessarily a great quarterback.
Well – The Raiders play the Colts next week, your Colts. My Vikings just stomped them, 34-14. Yes. It was awesome. 28-7 going into the fourth. They ran the ball 34 times because the Vikings are apparently a 1990s team this year.
So. Oh, my God. They throw the ball like 4 times a game, it feels like.
They never throw. They threw 10 times in their opening game win. And then they threw 21 today, which is kind of normal-ish. But
Zimmer's trying to zig when everybody zags, but like he's really, really zigging.
Yeah, it's kind of – they have such good receivers. It's crazy.
They have two awesome receivers in Stephon Diggs and Thielen.
If they didn't throw a pick against the Packers in the end zone last week, they'd be 3-0 with this strategy. So maybe it's not the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, but I wonder how long the run back can last.
Exactly.
Dalvin gets ACL, the new ACL and everything. I mean, the same with the Colts.
Well, they didn't run Cook that much today. Madison, their backup, got 12 carries.
Well, that's the key. You have to have – the Colts have like three running backs, so it helps. They run the ball a lot, but you have three running backs. You just cycle them in and out for – stuff that helps.
So yeah, my take here though for you Colts people is the Raiders are horrible, so you should be tough.
Yeah, so I mean the thing with the Colts though is that they play the Raiders and the next week they play the Chiefs in Kansas City. Ugh. So it's kind of like this trap game, right? Where the big game is in 2 weeks against probably the best team in football, if not the second best behind the Patriots. So that's
You know who led the Vikings in receiving yards?
Thielen.
Someone I've never heard of before. Irv Smith Jr.
Well, Thielen had a nice
He's on my favorite team and I've never heard of him.
Thielen had a nice 40 touchdown.
Thielen has definitely been better than Diggs this year.
Yeah, I have Diggs on my fantasy team. It's been sad. Thielen is legit. I mean, Thielen is on board. I mean, he's probably
local
top five.
Local dude, too. That's a Minnesota dream right there.
Yeah, he's probably top five in the league in terms of wide receivers. Are close to it.
For our last only once a week show, Adam, I got nothing else.
Yeah. What? Patriots report on Friday?
Media day Friday. They got training camp right after in the weekend, and they fly to India for basketball games, guys. Games.
October 4th or 5th?
The 4th. Saturday the 4th at the crack of dawn. I think it's like 8 in the morning or something.
So you're listening to this podcast on Monday, the 23rd. That means it is 11 days away.
It's crazy.
And that means what we're getting. Wow. We're almost really like, if it's the 23rd right now, what? First game's the 18th, right? So it's like
first,
25
the first
days away.
Season game's the 23rd.
23rd? Okay, so exactly a month away, 30 days.
A month away, yeah. Woo.
30 days from
basketball. Wow, that's crazy. Offseason goes by faster every year.
Yes, it does. I can't believe we're already there. Still feels like summer outside, though. It's freaking hot.
Yeah, my AC's broken today. Don't remind me.
Oh, all right. Well, let's let you go get a fan to cool off. you can follow our podcast at Locked On Patriots. You can follow Tony at Teased NBA and me at Free Madam 5. If you want to check out our player previews, we did – Aaron Holiday 2 weeks ago, Gogo last week, you had TJ Warren today, obviously. We'll do the rest of them coming up. We are switching to 3 days a week starting next week. But for now, it's our last podcast of this week. But we'll see you guys again.